on this?
These are Hadaka. Go for it. Yeah. Chocolate covered cornflakes. Good stuff. Okay. So the Ramban tells us something really, really on a simple level, which seems like just a nice little shot of how to understand the psukim. But if you think about it, I think this is the type of thing which can change your life. So let's read this Ramban carefully together. Parshas Truma, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yud. The Pasuk says, Va'asu Aron. We're talking about the Aron, right? You know, not that Aron, but the Aron. The Aron HaKodesh, the one that had the Aron HaBris, the one that had the Luchos in it, the Shivri Luchos. This was the dwelling place of the Shechina. So the Bnei Yisrael should build this Aron. Yachzer El Bnei Yisrael on his Karm Lamala. This plural form is referring to the Bnei Yisrael who had been mentioned earlier in the Pesukim. V'acharei kein, and then after this particular command that they should build Aron, v'tipiso so, you should go and you should cover it with gold, v'tzaktalo, v'chulam b'lashon yachid. Every command relating to the Aron, though, afterwards, is all in a singular form, right? You, in singular, v'tipiso, v'tzakta, ki Moshe k'neged kol Yisrael. What's the Ramban talking about? What's the Ramban driving at here? Most of the commands by the Aron are in singular form. Open up a chumash, look at the psukim, you'll see. Most of the commands are in singular form. It's saying you directly should do it as an individual. And yet, this one, right towards the beginning, that the Bnei Yisrael should build an Aron, is written in plural form, va'asu, and they should make. How come? So the Ramban says, first of all, don't be astounded. Who's this they referring to? It's referring to the Bnei Yisrael. And every time afterwards, when the first did it in a singular form, and you should do it as an individual, so they're referring to Moshe. Why? Because Moshe is connected to all of Israel. So they explain this discrepancy. It's just explaining that this one time is referring to all of Klal Yisrael, and then afterwards it goes and sticks with Moshe. Now, why? Because Moshe is opposite all of Israel. I think that can be understood on two levels. Number one, Moshe is opposite all of Israel because he's simply as great as all of Klal Yisrael. Now, you might say, like, what does that mean? How are we supposed to understand that? But the truth of the matter is that the leader of the generation, the Tzadik Hador, the Gadol Hador, is somebody whose worth in Hashem's eyes is massive. This person we have all the time, that Moshe is compared to all of the Sanhedrin, he's compared to all of Klal Yisrael, as in this particular example. And that's a very important idea to realize, that as you grow in stature, that's really what defines who you are. That's really what matters. And you can become somebody who's worth an entire nation in Hashem's eyes, because you're somebody who truly connects to Hashem. But on a second level, on a more pshat level, it's simply because Moshe was the representative of Klal Yisrael. Who was being told to do this? Moshe. Because Hashem wasn't speaking to the entire nation. Hashem spoke to one person who, through him, the entire nation would have their command. So Hashem says, you should do it. But what does Hashem mean? He means all of Klal Yisrael. So that's the simple reading of the Pasuk. But now, let's delve a little bit deeper. V'itachin. Ramban suggests the following. She'yirmo she'yu kol Yisrael mishtatfin. Basias Ha'aron, Bavorshu Kadosh Mishchene Elyon, Vishayizku Kulam L'Torah. What's the Ramban driving at here? Why does this time, does the Torah tell us it in plural form? If it's true that every single time, if you say it in singular, and that refers to Moshe, who's opposite all of Yisrael, or is going to pass on the message to all of Yisrael, how come the first time it says all of Klal Yisrael in the plural? Why? We explained what each term means, but now the question is, why did the Torah do it in this fashion? And the Ramban has two distinctions here. Number one, because after all, this was the most significant part of the entire Mishkan. This is the dwelling place of the Shekhinah. All of Klal Yisrael had to be involved with that. But moreover, v'sheyizku kulam l'Torah, so that all of them should be worthy of meriting the Torah. As the Medrash says, every keli it says you and as an individual, that all of Bnei Yisrael should do it. Let them all come and be involved with the Aron, so that they should be zocher to Torah. Now we know that in the Mishkan, everything had sublime significance. Everything symbolized something very, very important. What was it that the Aron represented? Not such a hard thing to figure out when you think about what it contained. Right? It contained the Luchos. It contained the Shekhinah rested on it. What is that? The Torah. It refers to the Torah. So now it was super important. The Ramban off the Medrash is telling us that here, unlike every other Keli, it specified that all of Klal Yisrael should come and have a portion. Why? So that they too could tap in and that they can merit receiving the Torah. We'll elaborate on that in a moment. Now, the Ramban, before we elaborate on that, let's just finish this piece. The Ramban now asks an unspoken question. What do you guys think? How big was the Aram? You know, the Pasuk tells us how big the Aram was. I'm a Vachiti Arko, I'm a Vachiti Rachbo, right? I'm in height. Let's think about this. Hold on. How big of a box are we talking about? A few feet by a few feet max. How many people were there in Klal Yisrael? Millions. Can you imagine what kind of project that would be? It would be ridiculous. How millions of people to build a box? It's really quite silly. How would you possibly manage it? What do they even all do? How are they all going to be involved here? So the unspoken question is like, okay, great. So now all of Klal Yisrael's got to be involved in the Aron, unlike any other Kli, because after all, they all have to be Zocheh LaTorah, whatever that means. We'll talk about that more again soon. But, like, what's shot in, like, the actual physical nature of this? How are they going to go ahead and do this? You have them all line up, and they all just get involved? How are they going to practically get involved? For Asek, so now the building would be as such. She has Nadev kol echad kli zav echad l'aron. So one way that they could all somehow join in is that they don't all have to actually build it. You know, first of all, not only is it, like, not feasible, they don't have enough to do, but moreover, it's going to get in the noise. They're all going to get in the way. They're all going to crowd over. How are they going to do this? So one way that they could all be involved is to donate. They can each give a kli. They can all dedicate one golden item, and then together they can meld it all together and create the aron. Or, option two, yazor lebetzalo ezer ma'at. Or else maybe they can help him a little bit. You know, they can pass the hammer to him. They could all, everybody can bang in, you know, one little bit. They can all smooth on a little bit of gold, each one according to his, you know, tiny little drop of action. So that's the second possibility. Number one is to donate. Number two is to actually physically be involved. It is crazy.
The second is like, millions of people also.
Millions of people all are going to somehow be involved. Or the third possibility, oh, sheikhav nu ledavar. Or else that they should intend for something. What does that mean? So there's different ways to take this. The Klei Chemda, one of the commentaries on the Ramban, a super commentary on the Ramban, suggests that it means that they would all just want to be involved. They would, like, think about it and, like, be involved. Even though, obviously, it's not practical for everybody to donate, because even then you'd have too much gold, or for everyone to actually physically do it, because then, like, come on, there's some way you're going to actually build that feasibly. So rather, he says, maybe you'll actually be thinking towards it. You'll want to be involved. Or I thought, perhaps, it's not super clear to me what the language of the Ramban really indicates more, perhaps the Ramban means that they would somehow help Bitsalo. They would suggest, oh, why don't you do this? You know, they'll help him figure out the architecture. Although I hear why that's not so desirable. First of all, Bitsalo was the best. Second of all, it wasn't that complicated. This wasn't the menorah we're talking about. It's a box, right? Not that hard. Maybe the Kerubim were harder to make, right? But like the actual, maybe the Ramban means that either they'll donate, or they'll physically help, or they'll help him understand, conceptually will help. Or else, maybe that they'll yearn to get to it. And now, I want to, before coming back to analyze this Ramban in greater depth, turn to one more Ramban. Last Ramban here on the page. Perichav hei, pasachav dal. The Ramban tells us, he says how the Shulchan, what it represent, what it symbolized, it symbolized Malchus, the wealth and greatness of Klal Yisrael, and that we should have all the bracha come from that. V'chein adavar, the Ramban says, shezat sod ha-shulchan, ki birkas Hashem me'eis hayos ha'olam, lo never yesh mayan. Hashem, ever since the creation of the world, this look back in Bereishis, that's a big theme of the Ramban's, Hashem doesn't create new things, yesh mayan, something from nothing. Rather, he works with the subject matter that's there, and then builds off of it. He works within Aval olam k'minahago noheg, right? This is a big, important point in the Ramban about what the nature of nature is. Wait, is there nature? If so, what does it mean? So Ramban says, no, Hashem does work within some ways the natural world. How so? Dixiv, the Pasuk says, Vayar al-Kim, es kol asher asavi, hinei tovim. Oh, it was very good. Hashem likes it. Hashem doesn't like to change nature. Why doesn't Hashem do miracles all the time? Because Hashem built nature for a reason. This is the ideal way the world should be. And therefore, he leaves it as much. Accordingly, he doesn't create things new from nothing. He works with the material he's already placed as here. Aval kasher yesham shoresh davar tachol alav habracha v'tosef bo. However, once there's something to work with, a little bit of raw material, then Hashem will do anything with it. Which goes to show you, even if we're talking about nature, quote unquote, right? Nature still means it's putty in Hashem's hands. Hashem built it in a certain way so that we can work with it, and then Hashem works with it to meld it however he wants it to be. And that's very important. How does a bracha work? We'd have this shulchan in the Mishkan, and would have the lechem upon him on it. What would it mean? It would mean that it would represent the wealth of Klal Yisrael. Why do we need to have this symbol? Not only to teach us that our wealth depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but actually to serve as a conduit to bring that wealth into the world. Once we have a little bit of bread, Hashem can make that bread expand. That the bracha, once it has something to land on, it can work off of that and become many, many, many times more than that. Hashem just needs a little bit of effort on our part. He needs a little bit of material. That's how we created the world. And then the bracha can expand and work off that. If you don't have that, then you lose out on the larger bracha. The Rabban brings some proofs on this, which unfortunately we don't have time to go into for now. But now I want to turn back to that first Rabban we just mentioned about the Aron. The Rabban said that the reason why it was so crucial that by the Aron, unlike by the other Kalim, that it save Asu Aron, that they should make the Aron in plural, is so that they should all merit Torah. Let me ask you guys, how are they all going to merit Torah from this? What does this mean? That they're going to merit Torah because they should all be generally involved in the building. So it would seem to me that there's a very important idea which is embedded within the Ramban, off of the last Ramban we put on this page. And that is that if you want to grow in Torah, you want to have that relationship with Torah, that lifelong commitment to learning and growing in Torah, you can't expect that inspiration to strike you randomly, like a lightning bolt. Like in a movie, how 10 minutes, first 10 minutes of the movie are the most boring 10 minutes of the movie, just sets the scene, you learn the characters, everything's going well, and then suddenly, boom, he meets the girl. Boom. The apocalypse happens. I don't know, whatever it is. First 10 minutes, watch any movie, boring, 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 learn the characters, then suddenly something happens. It's not how it works in Torah. Something's not going to strike you. It's not going to just happen. You have to first put in that effort. Everyone in Klal Yisrael has to be involved. You go and you give a little bit. You're like that lechem upon him on the shulchan. And through that, that's the conduit through which Torah will be given to you as long as you put in that effort. You have to take the first step. But then afterwards, a beautiful mashal, somebody is told by the king, many people are told by the king, but one person listens, that if they get to the top of the tower, 100 stories tall, then if they do it within an hour, they'll receive a wondrous treasure. So everyone's like, there's no way you can get up 100 flights in an hour. Whatever. I mean, 200 flights. Whatever. Make it something. Here in Torah Chiraga, we're used to walking up lots of steps. But imagine if you weren't, and you had to get up this massive thing in that short amount of time, you give up. One guy says, no. The king said it. I'm going to try. Maybe I can do it. And he goes and he goes and he walks and he walks and he walks and time's running out. He's on the 18th floor. He can't get any higher. He realizes it's a lost cause, but he pushes forward. He says, I'm going to try. And then, lo and behold, on the 20th floor, when he has only a few minutes left, and he's like, I can't get all the way to the top, there's an elevator. There's an elevator. At which point, the king knew the plan all along. You put in that first effort, you try hard, you show me you're committed, Torah will be given to you as a gift. It's not about the guy who's the smartest. I've seen in my own life guys who were not the smartest, not the most dedicated. And yet, at some point in life, they had that crucial moment where they said, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to really be dedicated to this. That ding that wakes them up and says, I'm going to try. And then, I just don't know. They far surpassed me, certainly, and they far surpassed people far greater than me. And it's astonishing to witness in real life. I won't give you real names, but I could give you real names. I've witnessed it with my very own eyes. And that's what the Ramban's telling us here. We all needed to be involved in Torah to give Hashem that little bit which he could expand, because that's how Hashem runs the world. That he could give us Torah on a greater level so that we and our future generations could relate to Torah forever. And I want to highlight one more very important point, guys. How was it, practically, that they were all able to be involved in Mishkan, and specifically in building the Aron? That it would say, V'asu Aron. How could it be? The Ramban's bothered by that question. I know we all want to be involved. I know we all want to be involved, because that way, that will give us the chance to have that bracha expand and we can have a lifelong deepening connection to Torah. And not just for us, but for our children and children's children, for all generations. But how do I do that? Three ways, the Ramban tells us. On a homiletical understanding, I think we can dig into this Ramban, three different approaches to attaining our portion of Torah. Number one, if you have the means, channel them towards Torah. Help upkeep Torah. Support Torah. Put your money where your mouth is. You might teach your kids how important it is to learn Torah, and you don't yourself really do it. But at least, donate to Torah. Support Torah. Be somebody who shows that Torah is worth it. When you go to work and you're working hard as a working man, how do you do it? Even if you don't learn as much as you know, a guy sitting in Kolel, you can still show that while you're spending your time working, the end goal, the focus is on Torah. To send your kids to yeshiva, to build up yeshivas in your community, to support people that are learning and teaching Torah, to build Torah. That's one way. That's the first approach. Another approach is to say, no, that's not for me. I want to be involved hands-on. I want to build that our own. I want to knock in a nail. I want to be the one that plates the gold on. I want to be involved. I want that deep connection with Torah. How'd you do that? Get involved. You go, and you don't have to be the one donating a kli. You can actually be involved in the building of the actual Aron. And through that, you'll be Yizkeh, the Torah. That's the second way. And the third way. Let's say you're not rich. And let's say you feel like, look, I don't have, Father raises the zitzflesh. I don't have, like, you know, the thickness of skin to be able to sit down and actually, like, learn with intensity. Not yet. And I don't feel like I have that mind that everybody else does, you know? But you can want it. What was the third way to relate to the Aron? What was the third way to be involved? To yearn for it. To say, I know that I don't have the money to donate. And I know that right now I'm not a massive Talmud Chacham who gives shiurim, who could build Torah, who could be the one who's involved. But I can want to. I can take that first step and say, I'm thinking about it. I at least have in my mind, I have a plan. I remember being at the Sima Shas, the most recent one. It's coming up soon, in a couple of years, right? But in the most recent one, and Rabbi Fran spoke at MetLife Stadium, and it was awesome. And he said, you have to have a plan. I don't care what the plan is, you have to have a plan how you're going to finish Shas. Every one of us have a plan to finish Shas. I don't care if it's the Daf Yomi, I don't care if it's a 40-year plan, but you have to aspire for greatness. And even if right now you're not the one supporting Torah, you're not the rich, wealthy philanthropist, and you might never be to support Torah in that aspect. And you might not yet be somebody who's capable of building Torah. You're not writing Sfarim. You might not even be giving Shurim. Although, of course, don't downplay what you can do by helping out somebody else who's... If you know an Aleph, they like to say, you can teach an Aleph. Right? That's partner in Torah's slogan. If you know something, you can teach that something. You can always teach. But still, we mean on a larger scale. Are you able to really teach? Are you a Raman Yeshiva? Are you a Rosh Yeshiva? Community Rav? Probably not. Not us. Not yet. But what we can do, even if we're young and we don't have the money, we don't have the capacity to teach on a high level, we do have the capacity to want it. To wish, to will, to want, to aspire to Torah. That we can all do. And if we do so, realize it's put there as much of an option as the other two, right? We have three ways of being Yizkeh LaTorah, of how each and every one of us is able to be meriting to receive the Torah in our future. Again, it's not just for us. If you make your life a life of Torah, of commitment to Torah, of growth in Torah, of aspiration to become a Talmud Chacham, then it doesn't just affect you. I know in my own life, but once again, for my own family, my generations upward, if you take that task and you embrace it and you run with it, you want it, it will affect your children, it will affect your marriage, it will affect your community, it will affect everything that's involved in your life for the better. Mirat Hashem, we should all take the opportunity that this parsha is representing us. Every other thing in the Mishkan, the riches, you know, the other aspects that we might not tap into. But Torah, we all have the capacity to tap into. Each in our own way, let's make sure to prioritize that.
Oh, yeah. Lives up to the height.